States.
4:03, we welcome you in. It is a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and we are coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM. But wait, there's more. 102.3, 106.3 FM. But wait, there's more. The all-new Jim OT, 107.5 FM, bringing you some alternative programming as well. Four frequencies, 2 hours, one show, and it's going to be a good one for you coming up in about 25 minutes. We're going to head to East Lansing, check in with Chris Solari, who covers the Michigan State Spartans for the Detroit Free Press. We'll get the latest on the search for a replacement to Mark D'Antonio in East Lansing. Today is the NBA trade deadline. Colin Ward-Henninger, one of our favorite NBA analysts, happens to work at CBS Sports. He'll be stopping by tonight at 5:30 to tell us, because this is Sports Talk Radio, we need to know who won and who lost the trade deadline today. All that and more. Buttons is extremely excited to hand out a $50 gift card to Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. We're going to do that here in the first 60 minutes of the program, so don't go anywhere. Stick around with us for the next hour, and you could have a little bit of an easier time shopping for this upcoming Valentine's Day. We will leave it at that. But, Alex, we have to start in West Lafayette last night, because Iowa didn't just lose to Purdue. It lost to Purdue. My wife was on the phone with her mother, and they were talking about Iowa playing that night, and I said, they're losing. And she wasn't really paying any attention, and she walked into the room after she was off the phone call, and she said, oh, yeah, you were right. I mean, I didn't mean to undersell it, but
they were down.
We don't really need to be invested in watching this at this point in time. There was a point last night where Iowa and Iowa State were down a combined 55 points. Iowa State, if you're the Cyclones, the silver lining in last night is most people are complaining about Iowa's loss and overlooking the fact that Iowa State got waxed at West Virginia. 319-366-1600. If you would like to join the conversation, you can give us a call or use that number as the First Federal Credit Union text line. Again, the number 366-1600. So what's the deal on last night and the Hawkeyes? Was it a blip on the radar? Was it slightly concerning? Or is it a harbinger of things to come? That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by the good folks at Emil's Hideaway. Concerned about last night, Alex, if you're an Iowa fan?
Not yet. No, I don't think
everybody
yet.
Gets one, right? We thought Nebraska was going to be the one.
That was grotesque. They got smacked.
What happened last night makes Nebraska look like a walk in the park.
It did, and I thought they battled at Maryland. They didn't battle last night. Now, I think that a lot of people will point around the country and say, that's college basketball. As I've said many times, college basketball is mired by mediocrity, and we've seen plenty of highly ranked teams go into West Lafayette this season and get smacked. Michigan State lost by 29 earlier this year, and I want to say that Virginia also went into West Lafayette and lost earlier this year. So there is sort of the 29 points they lost by at West Lafayette. There's that. But you never want to see that type of performance. But the good news for Iowa is that Nebraska's on the horizon at home. That's the good news.
That is the good news. The arena is sold out. Should be a fantastic atmosphere, provided that the fans that bought those tickets were not of the fair weather variety, because this team, if it's going to do ultimately what it's capable of, still needs fan support. But last night, you had Purdue making 11 three-point baskets in the first half. That's a team that wasn't exactly known for its ability to score this season. And they put up 104 points before everything was said and done. You take away very little from that. And I think the one thing that I look and at least acknowledge as maybe a good thing was the fact that I thought Fran McCaffrey and the players handled it really well last night, at least watching from several hundred miles away, as most of us did here in Eastern Iowa. I thought Fran McCaffrey took accountability. I don't know whether he takes that type of accountability 4 or 5 years ago in his Iowa tenure after a game like that. And the players talking about getting kicked in the rear end and needing to do better. I mean, nobody was out there hunting excuses last night. How often do you see a team go out, lose, and then they're fighting that battle in the media where they're blaming the officials or they're saying this or that? I mean, they flat out admitted last night they got beat. They got beat by a team that was better than them on February 5th, 2020. Is Purdue better than them long term? If they play that game 20 times, does that outcome, 104-68, even come close to happening again? At the same time,
if it's played at Mackey Arena, who knows?
At the same time, I think there's at least somewhat of a reason to take pause. I
mean, the recent history of the way that this team has played in late February going into March is that reason, right?
Yes.
But that's it to me.
Fool me once, shame on you.
Exactly.
Now, I don't believe for a second that this is the typical fade. I think this was a team that went into an arena last night. They had no idea that they were running into a buzzsaw. They got sliced. They got diced. And now you get back on the plane, you fly home, and you gear up for Nebraska on Saturday. And if they beat the Cornhuskers, and admittedly, this is not a very good Nebraska team Fred Hoiberg's bringing to town on Saturday, but if they come home, they beat the Huskers, this loss last night is going to be an afterthought. What do you think? 319-366-1600. Or after last night, are you not capable of thinking anything after watching that? We mentioned Iowa State, also a dismal performance on the road at West Virginia. Iowa State's season has circled the drain for much of 2020 so far. Not much was expected of Iowa State in Big 12 play. You and I and Drake, though, getting it done in the Missouri Valley. You and I maintain sole possession of first place. The Panthers finishing off the regular season sweep of Valparaiso. And Drake, playing at home at the Knapp Center last night, had absolutely no problem taking care of Bradley. 319-366-1600. Again, the First Federal Credit Union text line, and you can get $200 just for opening a new checking account at First Federal. Find out how by visiting firstfedcu.com/KGYM.
I was still a game and a half out of first place in the Big Ten.
Yeah, the sky's not falling.
No, to me, this loss is sort of the equivalent of in a 7-game series, either in the NBA, the NHL, or Major League Baseball, you losing game 3 or 4 and still being tied in a series. It's sort of meaningless. You move on.
Purdue wasn't banging on any trash cans.
No, you weren't banging on any trash cans, but you move on and you completely flush it and you get ready for Nebraska at home. But they've got to win some games on the road if they want to be in that top four. They believe that they're one of the best teams in the Big Ten. And to show that, they need to get in the top four. You get that double bye in the Big Ten tournament, you have a much better chance of winning the Big Ten tournament, obviously. So Indiana on the road, Minnesota on the road, Michigan State on the road, Illinois on the road. How many of those games can they possibly win? How many is realistic to think about? Because those games are going to go a long way in deciding where they finish.
Doug in Coralville on the text line says, not surprising or concerning because it's the same story. Iowa hasn't won a Big Ten road game against a team with a pulse in years. 319-366-1600, and I could not agree more with 7900. Put it behind you, move forward. Purdue shot out of its mind. But honestly, I was surprised that the half-court shot at the end of the first half didn't go in. I mean, it seemed as if Purdue could not miss last night. And when you're not missing, there's not rebounding opportunities on the defensive end of the glass. You're not grabbing rebounds and running in transition the way that Iowa oftentimes likes to do. And some nights you eat the bear, and some nights the bear eats you. And last night, we know who the bear was. Again, the number 366-1600. Buttons would absolutely love to hear from you on the other side of the glass as we recount just an all-around abysmal night of basketball for Iowa and Iowa State, while also acknowledging you and I and Drake at least were able to get things done.
Set that showdown up. I can't wait to see that on Saturday between those two teams. The combination of a truly blow-up defensive performance, like one of those vintage Fran McCaffrey team defensive performances from the past couple of years that so many fans have been upset about, the being late, just being a step behind defensively, mixed with 6 of 25 from the three-point arc. Now, we hadn't seen that this year, other than, I believe, DePaul. We'd seen a couple of really bad offensive performances. One, they lost to Nebraska and Lincoln, and the other, they came back and they beat Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago. But the combination of those two things and going into Mackey Arena against a team that's good at home leads to a score that makes you just sort of scratch your head and say, okay, I understand that this is college basketball, and I understand that Purdue has blown some teams out at home, some good teams out at home. But it makes that game at Carver-Hawkeye Arena against Nebraska even more important, and not just that they win that game, but they look good in winning that game.
I agree. They come out flat against the Huskers, and you guys have carte blanche to go at it, I guess. 319-366-1600. It's not often you're going to see a box score that has Luka Garza with just one rebound. That was the case last night. It came on the offensive glass. He did put in 26. 8 games in a row now where Garza has eclipsed 26 points in scoring, but that was the problem last night. You go from Garza scoring 26 to Ryan Kreener at 9. No other Hawkeye even got into double digits scoring-wise, and you look at the plus-minus in the box score. That is ugly. Ugly. 366-1600 if you want to pick up the phone and join the conversation. Hawkeye is now 7-5 in the Big Ten. 16-7 overall. Purdue gets back to 500 in conference play. Boilermakers now 6-6, improving to 13-10 overall on the year. For those wondering, that 104-68 final spread is the worst defeat the Hawkeyes have ever suffered at the hands of the Boilermakers. So a historic night at Mackey Arena last night, just not the type of history the Hawkeyes have wanted to be a part of. And look at this. Let's go to the... It's not John... Before you guys jump to conclusions, it's not John in Columbus Junction, but we've got another frequent contributor of another variety here at KGYM. He's the Hawkeye super fan, the one and only Buddy Lee, joining us on the phones. Buddy?
Hey, guys. Hey, tough loss last night.
Tough? Yeah, it was a very tough loss.
Very hard to watch. But I wanted to get your opinion on... who was doing scouting reports for each these away games. Maybe there's a trend to see who's doing the scouting reports. So, I don't know. Thought I'd let you know and let's see your thoughts when I hang up.
Yeah, I don't know which coach had the scout for last night's game.
I think it's the trend of going on the road and losing is not one that's unique to Iowa.
No.
And it's... I'm not sure if it's about scouting reports. It's been a riddle that I've been trying to solve for like the last 5 years. And I ask every basketball person, every college basketball person, from Mac McCausland to Jess Settles, anyone that I could possibly get some kind of insight into this question about, I'll ask, why is it so difficult to win on the road? It's not this difficult to win on the road in college football. It's not this difficult to win on the road in the NBA. It's not this difficult to win on the road in the NFL. For some reason, college basketball is home court advantage is so unbelievably important. And it's pretty clear from watching any team, including Iowa, that they play Purdue at home, maybe they win by 15 or 20. They play Purdue on the road, they get beat by almost 40 points. It is just a weird sport that way.
And that's where I'll give you and I credit, because last night, Valpo was, I believe, 8-1 at home.
Right.
They play very good basketball at home. You and I was still able to go on the road and do what it needed to do. Panthers now 20-3 on the season. They just need to accumulate as many wins as they possibly can so that their case is as strong as possible. Iowa, by the way, doesn't fall off a cliff in regard to things like the net rankings. I think they dropped 8 spots or something like that after last night's loss. So hardly the end of the world for the Hawkeyes. Now, Ed on the text line, I'll read the whole text. I want to really sink into the final line here. Iowa wasn't expected to do anything, so to this point, they have exceeded expectations. I hope that was a fluke, that being last night's game. Hard to beat that kind of shooting. More bothered by what looked like a lack of effort. Was there a lack of effort last night? Was something off with that team? 366-1600. Like you said, it's the first time that we've seen them a step behind. And we almost saw entire seasons of that,
right,
under Fran McCaffrey in past seasons, especially on the defensive end. That appeared to change this year, but last night was like a throwback. Last night was, hey, we've seen this before. But it was just, in my opinion, a blip on the radar as opposed to, here we go again, same old, same old.
I think it was a snowball effect. I don't think it was necessarily a lack of effort, but I do think that it was one of those things where they got down early and they got buried, and they didn't know how to dig their way out of the 15 or 17-point hole that they were in. And when Purdue started hitting shots, it just seemed like the Iowa was a step slower and a step slower, and they never were able to regroup, and that is going to happen. And like you've said, Todd, we've seen NCAA tournament Fran McCaffrey teams have 5 or 6 of those in a Big Ten schedule. We've seen them have multiple bad performances. Look at last year. Multiple bad performances like that in a single Big Ten schedule and still get into the NCAA tournament. But now it's all about avoiding that fade. That's what I think. That's the only pause for people. They think that this team is different. I believe this team is different, but we're going to find out.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't think people want to acknowledge it. I don't think they want to give it a voice, but I think in the back of their head, they're hearing that whisper. Their internal dialogue is saying, here we go again.
Well, and
I'm not saying that that's the case, but when you have lived this year in and year out, and you just get used to it, the calendar turns to February, and then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. I mean, fool me once.
Washington Nationals fans, after they get up 2-0 and then they lose 3 games at home, here we go again. St. Louis Blues fans, after they lose game 1 and game 6.
And then what is that banging sound they keep hearing?
Well, yes, there's that. But it is part of a fan's nature, because you've been through this. You've lived it. As much as you want to tell yourself and you want to feel like your instincts are telling you, this is different. This one does feel different, and it does. Those instincts are true. There's still the back of your mind that this has happened multiple times. Like I said, I'm still going with my instinct on this one.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines, 366-1600. We head to Iowa City and bring Kyle on board. Kyle, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, after watching last night's game, you know, as you guys have pointed out, it felt very much like a throwback. You know, we have seen that type of defensive performance from Iowa before. But in watching that, I realized, you know, another thing that we've said before is that winning buys you patience. Winning buys you a lot of equity with your fan base. And so rather than, you know, saying, oh, here we go again, same old Iowa, midway through that game, I was willing to chalk it up to Purdue shooting the lights out tonight. You know, just not Iowa's night. And, you know, that I can only have that reaction because of the performance that Iowa's had this year, because of the job that Fran has done already this year. I was just a little bit shocked at how accepting I was of last night. So last night wasn't good, but in a way it was kind of a testament to how good this year has been, because
I'm not really all that concerned about it.
And I think that's a great way to view it. I think if this team had been flirting with 500 and some nights are good, some nights are bad, and then you have a game like last night, holy cow, the mob is out today. The fact that they have played as well as they have, looked as good as they have, everybody's a little bit more willing to give them some slack in the rope today. Now, the question is, and as a number of people have mentioned on the text line, if they look off on Saturday against Nebraska, or if they struggle against Nebraska, because this is not a good Nebraska team that we're going to see Saturday at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, then Monday's show may be interesting.
Absolutely.
Because those people will say, okay, now I'll say it out. I'll say the quiet part out loud now. For right now, the quiet part is still being internalized by a number of fans. And I'm willing to look at last night and just say, that's a blip on the radar, which again is one of the options on our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. 319-366-1600. Keep the texts coming on the First Federal Credit Union text line. And remember, stick around in the next 40 minutes because you're going to have an opportunity to take home a $50 gift card to Hertin and Stocker Jewelers located at 101 South Dubuque Street on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. We'll get you a big board update momentarily. The other major story in the sports world today, other than the NBA trade deadline, and again, Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports is going to be with us at 5:30 tonight. I hope you didn't run out and buy your Los Angeles Dodgers Mookie Betts jerseys just yet, because that trade is on hold at the moment because of the medical concerns that were raised by the Boston Red Sox on the physical for former Cedar Rapids Colonels pitcher Brusdar Graterol. Graterol was here in 2018. Fantastic young arm, arguably the top pitching prospect in the Twins organization, hands down. The Red Sox came up with a red flag on his physical, and now that deal is sort of in trade limbo at the moment. You don't see that thing blowing up and Mookie Betts going back to... I mean, Boston, the fans in Boston have not exactly thrown their arms around that deal and embraced it.
No.
No.
No, they have not.
And this would just be so awkward if this thing blows up and then you've got the Red Sox. I guess you either take him back, you try to trade him to someplace. What's most likely going to happen here is that they will get some sort of additional value, maybe another player, a low-level minor league player from the Twins, or somebody's going to kick in some cash somewhere or the other. The thing that I don't get is that a lot of the reporting says Boston is now viewing Graterol as a reliever when they thought that perhaps he was going to be a starting pitcher. I think everybody would like to see him as a starting pitcher, but I don't think most people would expect him to hold up to the workload. Every scouting report that I've ever read on him says, he's got some strong bullpen warning signs here. Not that it's bad to wind up in the bullpen. You can be a dominant reliever. Look at Josh Hader in Milwaukee. But the most dominant reliever is not as valuable in Major League Baseball as a solid starting pitcher, let alone a dominant one. So there are some issues here with this trade that need to be worked out, but it still looks like Mookie Betts' days in Boston are numbered. Speaking of trades, NBA trade deadline today. Some teams did a lot. Some teams did nothing.
Again, Chicago Bulls.
The Bulls. Poor Bulls fans. I don't know what to tell you. It is going to be a long decade at the United Center.
I think it's funny in the NBA right now. The team that's making all the splash plays is the up-and-coming team is the Memphis Grizzlies. They got Ja Morant. They've made a bunch of trades and got young pieces, and they're in the playoff picture. How do you feel if you're a Chicago Bulls fan, a New York Knicks fan, a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, a Phoenix Suns fan, and you're sitting there doing nothing, and you've been sitting there as one of the worst teams in the league for like the past half decade to a decade, and you see some franchise in Memphis, Tennessee, being able to turn themselves around into a playoff contender in 1 year? I think there's a lot of frustration.
You have to want to do it.
Yeah, and they don't. The Bulls just, it seems like their front office legitimately just doesn't care.
Well, their owner certainly doesn't. He's more concerned about the White Sox, who should be really good this year. But that's never going to change until you get a change in ownership there. I think that Bulls ship is going to be sailing the exact same choppy seas they're currently in. Let's go ahead and keep it here. Get you a big board update with Alex Kuhn. And then when we come back, we're going to get the latest in East Lansing, Michigan, after the somewhat shocking departure this week of Mark D'Antonio. Who's going to take that job? Chris Solaria, the Detroit Free Press, will fill us in.
Things did not go well for the Iowa basketball team last night at Mackey Arena. The Purdue Boilermakers gave Iowa somewhat of a reality check loss in emphatic fashion, 104-68. Purdue did pretty much everything that they wanted to do offensively, shooting 63% from the floor, making 19 three-point shots for 56%. Iowa, outside of Luka Garza's 26 points, was stymied offensively and did not have another double-figure score. They fall to 16-7 on the season. They're going to look to bounce back against Nebraska on Saturday at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. They're just a game and a half out of first place in the Big Ten standings. Things weren't a whole lot better for the Iowa State Cyclones in Morgantown as the 13th-ranked West Virginia Mountaineers handed the Cyclones their fourth consecutive loss. 76-61 was the final. The Clones once again are struggling to find offense outside of Tyrese Halliburton and Rashier Bolton. The two were the only double-figure scorers. They also continue to struggle from beyond the three-point arc, going just 5 of 16. The UNI Panthers and the Drake Bulldogs saved the night for the state of Iowa. UNI came up with a very nice 63-51 win over Valparaiso, while Drake beat Bradley 73-60 at the Knapp Center. This sets up a big in-state showdown on Saturday at the McLeod Center between the two teams. Tip-off for that game is going to be set for 3 p.m.
And we perhaps buried the biggest lead of all when it comes to the Drake Bulldogs, but yesterday on social media, Griff announced that he was retiring as the live mascot for the Bulldogs. So they'll hang the Help Wanted sign at the Knapp Center, and perhaps they will, and hopefully, speaking of Bulldogs, hopefully Butler Blue, I think they're on Butler Blue 4 or 5. Hopefully he stayed dry last night in the leaky roofing environment.
Did they finish
of Hinkle
that game?
Fieldhouse.
I think they did.
I got to admit, I went home and I dived in on Iowa and Purdue, and I just, that burned in my retinas last night watching
they
did.
And Butler won.
Well, good for former Hawkeye assistant Laval Jordan. Former Hawkeye assistants had a good night last night. Greg Lansing at Indiana State, nice win at home at the Holman Center over Loyola, and Laval continuing to do good things at Butler. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Matt Campbell's not an option. Luke Fickell appears to be the guy. What's going on in East Lansing? Chris Solaria, the Detroit Free Press, gives us the lowdown.
In the 1940s, everything had an air of romance. Women wore red lips and high heels just to go to market. Gentlemen sported handsome full-length wool coats and stylish hats. And the movies featured sweet and wonderful stories of love. Times and fashions have changed, but that sense of romance remains at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been offering gifts of love on Valentine's Day. At Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, they understand that Valentine's Day is a day to be swept away by the magic of romance. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, in downtown Iowa City. And step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Start your next project today at Menards and save 11% off everything. Put in those new kitchen cabinets you've always wanted and save with 11% off. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Plus, get 11% off. Add stylish storage to any room with new shelving and save with 11% off now at Menards. 11% off, good through Saturday, February 8th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
TCB Pool Hall, it's the real deal.
Regulation full-size tables? Check. 10 of them. Cold beer? Check. 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. $2 domestic bottles? Check. Every day of the week. Nobody fake, nothing filtered. That's the kind of place you want to hang out, right? Check. TCB Pool Hall. Hang out, play pool, drink cold beer. The $2 domestic bottles every day kind. At TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Ped Mall, downtown Iowa City.
You get your sports fix on KGYM. Now, satisfy your need for smart rock on Smart FM. Just John gets you going in the morning from 6 until 10. Greg's with you middays and serves up hot and fresh smart rock on the Smart Rock Smorgasbord. And Rick's got all the best tunes for your drive home from 3 to 7. Smart FM also offers extracurricular activities on the weekends, like Live from the Soundboard and Where It's At. When you need smart rock, there's only one place to get it. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
There's an app to save on flights, an app to rent a bike, and an app to help you save for driving safely. The Allstate app gives you real-time driving feedback with DriveWise, giving you the power to lower your insurance cost. In fact, safe drivers can save 40% or more. Connect and save with DriveWise. You're in good hands.
Download the Allstate app today. Savings may vary by state and driving behaviors. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Use of Allstate Mobile with activation of DriveWise required. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and the new Gym OT, 107.5 FM. Plenty more to get to today, including Love It or Leave It. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll check in with NBA expert Colin Ward-Henninger as well on the NBA trade deadline today. But wanted to check in and get the latest from East Lansing, the biggest Big Ten story of the week, not on the basketball court, but football-related. Mark D'Antonio stepping down as head coach of the Michigan State Spartans, leaving a very big void in the Big Ten East. Chris Solari, who covers the Spartans for the Detroit Free Press, with us now. And Chris, Todd, and Alex here. Let's start with your reaction, your initial reaction to Mark D'Antonio announcing that he was stepping down. Did you see this coming, or were you caught off guard like most everybody else?
Well, I had a couple days of notice with a few rumblings and rumors that we had heard over the end of the weekend, early part of Monday, and it really picked up steam from there. And the timing in terms of it actually happening on Tuesday is what surprised me. I expected it to happen, if it would, by the end of the week, but maybe not that early in the week. But I, you know, he said back in November when I asked him, the first thing I asked him when everything was going haywire with the season, I said, do you plan on being the head coach September 4th when you play Northwestern? Because I wanted to, you know, there was a lot of things that between then and now, or even into September, that could have happened. So he said yes, which was a definitive thing that he was looking to coach next year. But just in talking to him the other day, it sounded like the wear and tear of many of the off-field things, not so much the football-related stuff, is what ended up changing his mind.
Now, here's a question that I think has been very important in this whole situation. From your understanding, were the higher-ups, the athletic department at Michigan State, surprised by this? Were they caught off guard?
I believe they were.
Okay.
I believe to a certain extent they were. I think that there had been conversations, and I'm by surprised when the tweet came out. They weren't surprised, but I think over the weekend into the early part of the week, when they started hearing about this, they were a little bit surprised and caught off guard. And I think that, you know, the athletic director Bill Beekman talked about having conversations for weeks and months with D'Antonio about certain things. So there may not have been as much surprise on their end, but certainly from what I gather, the staff of the team and the players, the coaches, they were caught off guard by it.
Chris Solari with us, who covers the Michigan State Spartans for the Detroit Free Press. What do we know about the candidate pool right now? This is a really odd time to have to be looking for a permanent head coach.
It is, in some respects, I think, especially when you look at it in February. I mean, you know, obviously he had a $4.3 million bonus that kicked in January, which made things a little bit interesting, but they could have always written a check had he, you know, I think that's a big thing. I think that was where our mind was changed. They could have written him a check in December to increase the search pool. But in other ways, it's an interesting time in a positive way for them because there's nobody else really looking at this point. So you can go and find the ideal fit and not have the competition. But, you know, in terms of candidates, I mean, the number one candidate right now is Luke Fickell. And he has been since, from what I gather, before the announcement was made official with D'Antonio. And then I think, you know, once you start going down the list, Pat Narduzzi was a logical candidate. He said yesterday he plans to stay at Pitt. You know, whether or not there were conversations had, he kind of alluded to it that there were. I know Matt Campbell out at Iowa State was contacted and quickly. And I think that was a cursory thing because I don't think Michigan State has the money to pay his buyout at Iowa State anyways. And then there's a few other candidates that are not as visible, but, you know, a guy like Robert Saleh, his name has been mentioned. He's from Michigan, just got off the Super Bowl with the 49ers as their defensive coordinator. That to me seems like a pie in the sky, and he's in line. He seems in line for an NFL gig. And, you know, a few other guys, like I believe the other guys that I've heard mentioned were Pat Shurmur, who's the offensive coordinator with the Broncos, now an MSU alum. He's been tied to this job a few times, and Dan Enos, who just got basically released from Miami, which would be a tough hire. And that's, I would imagine, an emergency candidate, as well as Mike Tressel, who's the current defensive coordinator and the interim coach right now. So those are the names that we've been hearing.
Chris, you mentioned the $4.3 million bonus and the deposition that Curtis Blackwell gave that alleges NCAA violations. And I know that a lot of Michigan State fans are defending Mark D'Antonio, and then nationally the narrative is that he just sort of bailed on his team and his program. Is it hard not to connect the dots with everything that we know right now and the timing?
I don't know. I think that, you know, he's very close with Luke Fickell, so there's a good possibility. I won't say that I've heard this, but there's a good possibility that he may have steered him to this job. Which, you know, if you look at it on the face and the timing and everything else, it looks like he may have quit on the team. But if he had a succession plan in mind, if the university signed off, and if they're working on the dollar figures, that's a whole different thing, I think. I mean, they're very close, him and Luke Fickell. Now, that said, the timing with the NCAA violations being alleged by Blackwell's attorneys, I don't think that played a role in his timing and decision, but I do think it played in the wear and tear factor. A big part of the wear and tear factor. He had that deposition in January, mid-January, around the time of that bonus. And when he talked about the off-field things that kind of were like a big wave or an avalanche, that's one of them. That's a very, very big one, because that's attacking his credibility and character, something that he's tried to build his coaching career and reputation on. Sometimes has fallen short of that, this in particular is one that should be an interest. It's going to be an interesting follow without question.
Chris, how much is the Blackwell lawsuit and those NCAA allegations, the alleged NCAA allegations, a black cloud over this for anybody who would be interested in maybe taking the job, knowing that there could be some issues down the road?
I don't know, because I think a lot of people in the coaching profession in particular know and understand the Blackwell situation simply because, and this is a guy who before D'Antonio hired him in 2013 was running the Sound Mind, Sound Body camp. That became kind of a destination for these coaches. They know who he is. They kind of know where his character and reputation is. That certainly, I think, won't steer certain people away. And in seeing the things that have been floated by his attorneys, and I think that's important to keep in mind, this isn't like the NCAA has come down on them. This isn't like MSU has reported these violations. This is a federal civil lawsuit, and the plaintiff's attorneys are making these allegations. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind with this as well, of what the actual veracity of the claims are, as well as are they major violations or just simply secondary violations that every program incurs? So I think that people will be doing a little more due diligence, but I don't think they'll be steered away from it.
This is a program historically that's been sort of a roller coaster. And under Mark D'Antonio, they had unprecedented success. The Rose Bowl appearances, college football playoff appearance, Big Ten championships. How important is it going to be now for this program to make the right hire so they don't fall back into where they were in the early 2000s?
Well, success and stability, I think, were the two things with D'Antonio. I mean, this is, you know, you think back, they had Biggie Munn and Duffy Doherty from the 50s all the way up to the 70s and had this program basically as a national power with that legendary game in 66 against Notre Dame with 1-2 game of the century. Then Doherty kind of had that fall off that D'Antonio had end of his career, a little bit longer, a little bit more, a little bit worse in terms of records. But then after that, the job's been, as you said, kind of a roller coaster. I mean, you know, there's been violations over the years, in the 70s, again in the 90s. You know, George Perlis brought some stability. Then Nick Saban came in, and it was a stopgap, basically a stepping stone job for him. And I think, you know, the one thing that D'Antonio, his 13 years, does, it's not an easy place. It's not an easy place to understand the culture and the climate. It's not an easy place to understand the recruiting landscape, in particular with having to fight Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State for the same kids. But he also did make it a destination job for whoever the next person will be that takes over for him. I think that's the key, is you have to have someone that wants to be in East Lansing that has, if not a good idea of what it is like here, has someone who knows what it's like to kind of be their counsel and mentor to navigate some of the political landmines that tend to come up and have for 40, 50 years. And I think that's going to be, to me, I was talking about this with a colleague earlier. You could probably, because of the way D'Antonio has elevated the program, withstand someone who 6-7 years might be jumping to another job, maybe a pro job or whatever it might be, because the program has been fairly successful for a fairly sustained period of time. But what you don't want to do is get the wrong hire, a Bobby Williams, a John L. Smith. And they've had that history. There's no question about that.
Chris, do you get the sense that they have an idea of a timeline of like when they would like to get this wrapped up?
Yeah, I think they want to have it ready to go before Valentine's Day when the Board of Trustees meets, and the Board of Trustees ultimately is the one that makes and approves the hires. You know, they'll have that, I would imagine, at that point. It may cause maybe a little more expedited than things, but it's a very fluid process too. I mean, you know, I think that's the one thing. If a candidate, you know, let's say Luke Fickell decides this is it, I'm coming, they obviously got to negotiate, get staff stuff set up, and get the money right, and for both him and his assistants. I wouldn't think at least until early next week at the earliest, but again, it's a fluid thing.
Chris Solario covers the Spartans for the Detroit Free Press. We appreciate you taking the time to give us your thoughts here in Big Ten country. Thanks a lot.
Glad to join you guys.
And there you have it. Situation is fluid.
Here's my question. Let's just say that Mark D'Antonio did have a succession plan in place. He likes Luke Fickell. They're very close. And he wanted him to become the next head coach.
This is Bo Ryan, Greg Gard,
well,
right?
Yeah. But why didn't he retire then in November? Or excuse me, December after the season? Or tell everybody that he was retiring after the end of the season? Just let everybody know so they could get Luke Fickell in before the early signing period like every other coach.
And you and I, our listeners, all know that there are 4.3 million reasons why that didn't happen. He may like Luke Fickell, but he knew his contract.
That is, oof.
He knew that he was, if he just hung around for a couple more weeks, he's going to get that $4.3 million that he was due.
And he leaves all the signees kind of flapping in the wind. He leaves the program and the current players flapping in the wind and unsure of what's going to happen 3 weeks before the beginning of spring ball. I have absolutely no problem with any criticism that is going that man's way at this point.
This is college football. This is college sports. What Kirk Ferentz did yesterday on National Signing Day in honoring a scholarship commitment to a kid with a broken neck who's never going to play a down of football in his life at the University of Iowa. That is not the norm. That's the exception to the norm. What's going on in East Lansing, or what went on in East Lansing with Mark D'Antonio hanging around so that he could get $4.3 million and then leaving everyone in the lurch while he heads off to do God knows what and hopefully avoids any fallout or paying an actual price from these allegations, that's the norm in college football.
I get the sense that I
don't like this guy.
I think it's the extreme. Am I coming across clear here? I know there are other guys out there like that, but that's garbage. That can't be what you build your program on. Those types of values just can't be the norm for everybody. Now, there are exceptions, as we have mentioned, and it tends to be some of the most famous and successful coaches in the business that behave this way. Nick Saban, Bobby Petrino. We've seen this before, but he left that entire program, and signing class, current players, thinking that they were going to be coached by him with all of the same coaches going into the year, and now just after he gets his $4.3 million, he jets.
I tell you, he's the most successful football coach in that program's history. And just because you win a lot of games doesn't necessarily mean that you're above criticism. And the thing that I don't understand here is why so many fans have had his back. They've gone to battle for him online. They're defending his reputation. He hung your school out to dry and took $4.3 million away from them when he knew he was probably going to step down and knew he was going to do this. That's $4.3 million that could have gone to pay someone's buyout, a.k.a. a Matt Campbell-type candidate. As we know, Matt Campbell said very quickly, not interested. But you heard Chris, they don't have the money to make a run at some of the candidates that perhaps they would like. That $4.3 million would have gone a long way toward maybe putting them in a better position to land. We don't know what Luke Fickell's going to do. But what if Fickell wants more money and they can't afford it? That $4.3 million looms pretty large in all of this. And it's off the table because Mark D'Antonio, who said, well, I've been thinking about, I probably should have done this a couple months ago.
Oh, really? You think?
I think he should have done it before the bowl game.
Absolutely.
And that would have been the perfect, but he knew his contract. And he knew, hey, I just got to sit around here and play solitaire on the old office computer, make sure everything is above board, make it look like I'm still invested here. And after January 15th, then I can figure out what I want to do here. And then the Blackwell lawsuit and the alleged NCAA violations, well, gives him a pretty convenient opportunity to say, you know what, I've been thinking about this for a while. Since January 16th, I've been thinking about this, and now it's the time to step down.
I think about the signees, though. Right, he does this a day before the late signing period.
Won't someone think of the children? This is Alex here.
I am. I'm thinking of them. They're children. What are they supposed to do? They're trapped. What if a new coach comes in and they don't fit the system at all? As a true freshman, they realize
Kevin Warren has a plan for that.
Yes, they do.
Kevin Warren. He's got a plan for that.
Let's get this thing going or make an exception just for these players.
I don't ever want the Iowa caucuses to die. Make as many references to them as possible. We'll take a quick timeout. We've got the $50 gift card to Hertin and Stocker Jewelers that we're going to give away here in the first hour of the program. We'll do that when we return after this.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to remodel your home? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. The same goes for hardware. Are you looking for new cabinets? They can design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And they have lumber, of course, but also decorative shiplap and other trim as well. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com.
Salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some set.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh, so what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn.
On winning teams, every player brings their unique strength that has an impact on the results. For Kevin McHale, that meant coming off the bench for the Boston Celtics. Of his almost 1,000 career games, he only started 400 of them. Yet McHale helped lead the Celtics to 3 NBA championships, played in 7 All-Star games, and was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
You wouldn't draft a point guard to play center, right? It's the same thing as when you're going to hire your next teammate. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interests, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports. LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
First the beef, one hot and deliciously juicy hunk of quality beef. Then the melty cheese making a run for it like it's sliding into home plate in slow, delicious motion. Don't forget the box. Sweet, beautiful box. Do not eat the box. What does it all add up to? The hottest, juiciest quarter pounder yet, made with 100% fresh beef. Only at McDonald's. It's perfect. Made perfecter.
Fresh beef available at participating U.S. McDonald's. Excludes Alaska, Hawaii, and U.S. territories. Okay, you know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home addition? Now imagine an addition on that addition. Whoa. That's the feeling with Capital One, where a new savings account earns an interest rate 5 times the national average. That's right, 5 times, as represented by 5 times more singers. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
4:55, welcome back in, and if you were paying close attention during that last segment, you know we've got a $50 gift card to Hertin and Stocker Jewelers that we need to give away before the clock strikes 5 o'clock tonight. So let's go ahead and do that right now. Caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. We'll take home $50 to Hertin and Stocker. You can check them out and find out why they've been Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years for yourself. $50 will go to caller number 6, 319-366-1600. You know, you can say a lot of things about a lot of people on this program and get zero reaction, but you bring up playing solitaire at the office on your computer.
Yeah, Michael in Cedar Rapids is not happy
among
about
other
that.
People, among other texters saying, hey, don't blow the lid off this thing. Do not bring attention to office solitaire. We don't want area supervisors looking too closely at everyone's workstations here. That's the worst thing you could possibly do. I mean, we're a month and a half away from the NCAA tournament. You know how many hours of productivity are lost by people at work listening to or following along with the NCAA tournament? And there was a program one year that pulled up like spreadsheets and everything and made it look like you were doing work so that you could just click a button if your boss walked by and
genius
got the Johnson report right here. I'm finishing it up right now. Oh, can't believe he missed that free throw. What are you talking about? 319-366-1600. It looks like Buttons has possibly located a winner for that gift card. If you do not win today, have no fear, because Alex and Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com, who's going to be filling in for me tomorrow while I take a personal day, will have the final $50 gift card to Hertin and Stocker to head your way. What's coming up in the second hour of the program? Well, we'll fill you in when we return after this.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right?
full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
There's something new in the oven at the Home Depot. Air Fry. Only in the Frigidaire Gallery Air Fry Electric Range. Satisfy your family's fried food craving with a healthier, tasty cooking alternative right in your oven. It also comes with self-clean, true convection, and a very tasty price. Just $798. With up to 40% off appliance special buys, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. See store for details. Valid through February 26th.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. And we want to take a second to congratulate Dimitri in Cedar Rapids, the winner of tonight's $50 gift card to Hertine and Stocker. And you can use that however you want, Dimitri. Even treat yourself. A nice watch, ring, other sorts of jewelry. They have it all. And I know for a fact, because I've looked in their windows before on the Ped Mall, 101 South Dubuque Street. And as we mentioned, Alex and Rob will have another opportunity for you to take home a $50 gift card tomorrow. We have one more hour to go here on the program, and it's going to be a good one. The NBA trade deadline was today, and not surprisingly, there was a lot of action. Some Woj bombs being dropped and some eyebrows being raised across the NBA landscape. Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports hops on with us at 5:30. He'll give his thoughts on the teams that did the most at the trade deadline to improve their standing in the back half of the NBA season. Plus, it's sort of now a Thursday thing instead of a Friday thing. We'll get to Love It or Leave It here in the next 5 minutes. 319-366-1600 is the First Federal Credit Union text line. Keep it handy because we want to hear from you coming up in hour number two.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports the Clippers will get Marcus Morris and Isaiah Thomas in a three-team trade with the Knicks and Wizards. Thomas will likely be waived. The Cavaliers will get Andre Drummond from the Pistons. Detroit gets Brandon Knight, John Henson, and a second-round pick. The Heat will get Andre Iguodala and two other players in a trade with the Grizzlies. ESPN's Tim Legler.
I just think when you bring a champion into your locker room and a guy that plays the right way, the way Andre Iguodala does, it's something that absolutely moves the needle in terms of your ability to close the gap, make up some ground.
Iguodala will get a two-year, $30 million contract extension in Miami. Memphis gets three players in return, including Justice Winslow. The Timberwolves will get D'Angelo Russell in a trade with Golden State. The Warriors get Andrew Wiggins and a first-round pick. The Dodgers signed second baseman Max Muncy to a three-year, $26 million deal. And talks have ended on the proposed sale of a controlling interest in the Mets from the Wilpon and Katz families to Stephen Cohen.
Coming up Friday on Golic and Wingo, the NBA trade deadline has passed. Any big names get moved? And I don't care that it's February. It's football, and it's a football Friday. Golic and Wingo, Friday.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with people and answers you need for your health care needs. Visit careprohealthservices.com.
Honey, you're snoring again.
Oh, sorry.
Is your snoring bothering her? It's possible you have sleep apnea. Talk to your doctor about it. If you do have sleep apnea, find just the right CPAP or BiPAP machine at CarePro Home Medical. They'll get you the correct equipment, make sure you have the right mask with a proper fit, and explain how the equipment works. Help your health. Make her happy with a CPAP from CarePro Home Medical. CarePROHealthServices.com.
I have to go to the gym and untangle my headphones while warming up on the treadmill. And I'll finally untangle them 4 miles later, at which point I'm going to be real tired. Oh, yeah!
Motorcycles make everything exciting. And when GEICO makes it easy to switch and save on motorcycle insurance,
it's even more exciting.
And once I put my headphones in, I realize my phone's dead. Then I get to run in silence.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Earn double points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, and more. Ready for an oil change? Get 5 quarts of O'Reilly High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for $23.99, plus double O'Rewards points. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
5:03, it is now hour number 2 of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 6 o'clock this evening. Can't leave our producer Buttons out of the equation here. It is a three-man booth. Love having him with us on the other side of the glass, and he loves hearing from you at 319-366-1600. That doubles as the Hertin and Stocker, doubles as the First Federal Credit Union text line. Put a dollar in the jar for that one. And we want to hear from you over the next 55 minutes or so. Old habits are hard to break. Maybe that's why Iowa reverted into not playing defense very well last night in West Lafayette. It happens. See, if it happens again, reason to be concerned. It happens just once. Well, we did give away a $50 gift card to Hertin and Stocker. And again, Dimitri in Cedar Rapids is the owner of that gift card this evening. Got one more coming up for you tomorrow on the program. I already mentioned Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com filling in for me, and they'll be back with you on Monday after hopefully a better weekend of basketball than what we've seen so far in the last 24 hours, at least as it pertains to Iowa and Iowa State. Both teams will be home on Saturday. Iowa State has Kansas State coming to town. Very winnable game. And Iowa has Nebraska coming to Carver-Hawkeye Arena, also a very winnable game. Before we get into Love It or Leave It, though, let's go back to the phone lines, 366-1600. And it looks like we've got Brian in Iowa City who wants to weigh in on something. Brian, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I just wanted to had a thought after watching the game last night. I had a question for you guys. I'll even throw football in the equation, but when was the last time that you saw an Iowa basketball or football game where you thought they won the game due to coaching?
The last time I watched an Iowa game where I felt they won the game due to coaching or lost the game? He said won, right?
Won the game due to coaching. I mean, there have been a few this year. I think Fran's done a pretty solid job this year. There have been a couple.
Yeah, I think
coaching is important.
I think this is by far the best coaching job that Fran McCaffrey's done this year.
No question.
I can barely remember what I had for lunch earlier today, so I'm not going to sit here and...
Michael in Cedar Rapids, every win this year.
Every win this year?
It's hard to disagree with that.
It is... It's some of the Fran McCaffrey critics coming out of the woodwork after that. I totally expected that to be the case today. Again, be very concerned if they look like crap on Saturday against Nebraska. Everybody gets one, and I'm willing to give Iowa the one last night. We thought it was maybe going to be the game in Lincoln at the start of Big Ten play this year, but we'll transfer that now to last night's Purdue game. 3-6-6. 1600, and yes, the text line is enjoying the fact that I've tripped all over myself here in the first 3 or 4 minutes. We do have somebody on the text line wants to know about 107.5 FM. That is the Jim OT. That is what we're now branding 107.5 FM as. If you listen to the station primarily for ESPN programming and this show in Cedar Rapids, 102.3 FM is going to be your home for that. And in Cedar Rapids, 107.5 FM is going to carry some other programming, some SB Nation radio programming, some other programs from around the country. We're diversifying a little bit.
And the different programming on the Jim OT will be between 8 o'clock and the start of the gym class, correct?
I don't have the particular. I know
right
that
now
there are a lot of moving parts, and we're adding things, and things are coming, and things are going, and I just know we've got David Mahoney on the air and Coop and Tiff, who gave KGYM a shout-out earlier today, and then Pushing the Odds with Matt Perrault, which has been received quite well by a number of our listeners. So, no, we have not changed the name of the show, and we are still the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and we'll change the name of the show when one of the two of us are no longer here on a permanent basis. Might be sooner rather than later if I keep stumbling over things like who sponsors the text line. 507, Colin Ward Henninger of CBS Sports coming up with us in about 25 minutes. We'll get you another big board update as well, but first, let's do a little Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Reality check.
Todd, I'm going to love this. Last night, Iowa took a beatdown in West Lafayette. And there have been plenty of performances this season where Iowa has shown the promise of being a top four team in the Big Ten. And I still think that they possibly could be. But the reality check to me is, I think, what I've suspected for a while, not just with Iowa, but with everybody in the Big Ten. There are a lot of good teams. There is no great team in the Big Ten. And right now, it's very difficult to decipher what the pecking order looks like, because the cream has not risen to the top yet. Michigan State went into West Lafayette about a month ago and got their lunch handed to them. They lost by 29. Maryland went into Iowa City and lost by 19. We have seen the teams at the top have really, really embarrassing and lopsided losses away from home. Now, the thing for Iowa now is they have to avoid late season fatigue. As we've discussed, they're not a deep team. And they also have to avoid the backslide that we have seen from them at times. But I do think, as I've said, that this team is different than some of the Fran McCaffrey coach teams of the past. And the good news is they get to go home against Nebraska and right the ship. The bad news is they have to play Minnesota, Indiana, Michigan State, and Illinois on the road to conclude the season. They need to win, I think, at least one of those to feel comfortable about where they are. I think they're an NCAA tournament team. We know that. But if they want to be a top 5-6 seed in the NCAA tournament, they need to win some of those games away from home and not just compete. We've seen them compete in those games. We've seen them nearly pull out a victory at Penn State. They played pretty hard, even with Luka Garza and Ryan Kreener in foul trouble against Maryland. But they need to win a game on the road against Minnesota or Indiana or Michigan State or Illinois. And that's easier said than done.
Number two.
Time to think baseball.
It is time to think baseball. Iowa baseball. The Hawkeyes had their media day today in Iowa City. I know Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com was there for that, along with a number of other media members here in the eastern portion of the state. Rob's going to be sitting in for me tomorrow on the program, and I'm sure he and you can get into a discussion of what's to come for Rick Heller and the team this year. I saw Grant Leonard pick up another preseason honor today. It was announced by the Iowa baseball program. So pitchers and catchers starting to report to spring training as early as next week on the major league level. And here locally, it's almost time for baseball. As a matter of fact, it's almost time for softball as well. The Iowa softball team gets its season underway this weekend. So best of luck going out to Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes as they get ready to embark on the 2020 baseball season. It'll be here before you know it, and hopefully the weather cooperates with some of those early games at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. But how can you not love thinking it's time for baseball on February 6th?
Number three.
Going in with a completely open mind.
The XFL begins this weekend, Todd. Our St. Louis Battlehawks are taking the Dallas Renegades. They're the late game on Sunday. And I love this. These games are going to be on accessible television, not just this week, but in weeks to come. We're going to see players that we recognize who are very good college players who even spent time in the NFL and played prominent roles in the NFL playing in the XFL. So I'm going to go in realizing that there are going to be rule changes, realizing that there are going to be a little tweaks to what I usually recognize as conventional football, with an open mind, because quite honestly, it's February 6th and nothing else is going on. I know there's college basketball. I know there's college wrestling. I get it. The NBA is going on, and I love the NHL as much as anybody, but at this point of the season, you're getting into the dog days of the NBA and the NHL, where not a whole lot's going on. You're getting ready for the playoff push, but there's not a lot of intriguing matchups night in and night out. So, like I said, I'm going to give this a shot, go in with a completely open mind, watch week one, see how it goes, and we're going to take this one week at a time. I'm going to go all cliche here.
Plus, as Chuck Long said a couple nights ago with us on the air, it's on us to keep the league alive.
Yes.
And he said it from the offensive coach's film room as they were gearing up for this week's
for the week one league of the
league opening game. He joined us from the film room while they were working and chatted with us for about 8-9 minutes about the XFL. So
if that's not confidence, I don't know what is.
From the mouth of Chuck himself, it's on you guys to watch this. Keep the league alive. Keep my paychecks coming.
Number four.
Just win, baby.
This is about you and I basketball, and I'm going to love this because it's been my mantra for the last couple weeks as it pertains to the Panthers. They did a good job of that last night, going on the road to the Arc and beating Valparaiso, a building that the Crusaders are very tough to defeat in. As a matter of fact, Valpo's only lost one home game this year. Well, that was prior to last night. Now they've lost two. You and I gets it done. Wasn't exactly pretty, but you and I now 18-3 on the season, 7-2 in the Missouri Valley, alone in first place. And a reminder that none of that matters, because the Valley most likely is going to be a one-bid league again this year. And so, yeah, to borrow from Al Davis, the late owner of the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders, just win, baby. That's what you and I has to do from here on out. They're number 39 in the net ranking. That number is going to take a big hit the next time that you and I suffers a loss or losses. And then it's pretty much incumbent, no matter what happens during the regular season, to win in St. Louis at the conference tournament. They have three very difficult road games remaining on the schedule at this point. They still have to go to Chicago to play the Ramblers. They've still got to go to Terre Haute to take on Greg Lansing and the Sycamores. And they got to play Drake twice. First, this weekend at the McLeod Center, and then the final regular season road game of the year in MVC play, they'll go to the Knapp Center to take on the Bulldogs. Easier said than done. Nobody's going to criticize you and I if the Panthers can keep winning games. But the law of averages say, especially given the way that the schedule looks, number of road games and who those road games are against, they're probably going to pick up a couple more losses here. And then, well, you're going to have to win in St. Louis. And knowing that that's the pressure, and that's the same pressure that every other team in the MVC faces to get into the tournament, and I don't care where they're at in a mock NCAA tournament bracketology right now. It's about where they're at when the actual bracket comes out. And in my opinion, they need the auto bid in order to be in that bracket for certain. But they can help their case by continuing to win games.
Number five.
Mike Leach got his guy.
When Mike Leach took over at Mississippi State, the first question that I had is, which graduate transfer quarterback is he going to pick up? Think about Gardner Minshew and what he meant to Mike Leach. Best season that he's ever had, had the best offense in college football, 10 wins, a victory over, Iowa State fans, over Iowa State in the Alamo Bowl. He needs to he's done well with these graduate transfer quarterbacks. These fifth-year guys. In the past at Texas Tech, he did well with them. Experienced guys. Well, the news of earlier this week is KJ Costello from Stanford is going to be transferring to Mississippi State to take over as the quarterback for Mike Leach at Mississippi State. I love this fit. And Mississippi State is not void of talent. They've had plenty of offensive talent. Joe Moorhead just has not been able to find a quarterback and not been able to maximize the offense, which is why he's gone. But I think Mike Leach, year one, I'm not saying they're going to win 10 games, but I'm saying they're going to make an impression right away. And Mike Leach is going to show that his system is going to be able to work at least at a decent level in the SEC, because he has his quarterback. He has his guy that is accurate beyond anything, an accurate passer. And that roster is pretty good. And he's been able to maximize those types of rosters in the past. So I love this. KJ Costello to Mississippi State. Look for the Bulldogs to have a 6, 7, 8 win year in year one for Mike Leach.
Number six.
Strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah, this one is about something that the Iowa wrestling program is really looking forward to. But first, I will acknowledge the UNI fans are upset on the text line because I said that they were 18-3. I had 20-3 earlier today on the update. They're 18-3 on the net ranking website because I don't believe the net ranking takes into account the wins over Cornell and Luther. So just like the Iowa Democratic Party, here I am trying to correct the record, and it only makes me come off looking like a bigger moron. Now, back to Iowa wrestling. The Regents yesterday approved the go-ahead, gave Iowa the go-ahead to start planning what's been the dream of Tom Brands and the Iowa wrestling program for quite some time, and that is a new training facility that's going to be built adjacent to Carver-Hawkeye Arena. There are a number of things at play here, including the speculation that this could ultimately open the door for Iowa to offer a women's wrestling program, which would be huge for the sport. It's going to help them in their efforts to continue to remain number one in the country, not just in the short term, but in the long term. And of course, nicer facilities for all of the wrestlers who are training for international competition. They've got about $9 million raised for this, according to the University News release on this, which I think puts them close to being halfway toward funding the project. But you've got to strike while the iron is hot, and the iron has never been hotter, at least in the last decade or so, for the Iowa wrestling program than it is right now, coming off a big win last week over Penn State. They've got it rolling. They're back to number one in the country. Feels like as good a time as ever to make a massive investment into the future and the present of the Iowa wrestling program, and that's exactly what the Board of Regents gave the thumbs up for yesterday. So, especially for Iowa wrestling fans, you got to love that one.
Number seven.
Big Ten, please intervene.
We discussed the Mark D'Antonio situation at Michigan State, and the one thing that I brought up was the recruiting class this year that was brought in by D'Antonio, under the assumption that he was going to be coaching there, under the assumption that they would be playing within his system because that's what they were recruited to do. And people don't understand how important that is for some reason. When a coach brings a player in, they're bringing them in to fill a certain role. And when a new coach comes in, maybe that role doesn't even exist. So beyond anything, as far as the athletic department, the school, the president being blindsided, the thing that stood out to me is the recruits were shocked, by and large, that Mark D'Antonio decided to take the money and run. The Big Ten has been discussing implementing a one-time transfer rule for all student-athletes. Now, this is a bureaucratic system, so nothing's going to move fast on this front. And it's not going to be something that necessarily is going to be just adopted overnight, because you have to go through the NCAA first and all of that jargon. But to me, if I'm the Big Ten, I'm stepping in and saying, if you were recruited to Michigan State and signed on that letter of intent, you can open it back up. You can transfer without penalty, because that's just ridiculous. Somebody who basically lied to all of us, to our face, saying, oh, no, I'm going to be back. I'm going to be back. Just so he could stick around and make $4 million and then walk away, citing wanting to spend more time with his family, even though he could have done that in November if he felt that way. This is a sort of the flaw in the system. And that's why I would step in right away. Like I said, let these guys go. If the new coach comes in and Luke Fickell is running something different, then they were duped and they should be given the opportunity to leave.
Number 8.
Hold the phone.
The Mookie Betts trade earlier this week is currently in limbo. It's not often that you see this, but Major League Baseball is sort of holding its breath here. Baseball fans, I should say, especially fans of the Red Sox and the Dodgers, this three-team deal that basically was created to send Mookie Betts and David Price to the Dodgers, prospects in return to the Red Sox, and then the Minnesota Twins are going to land the services of Kenta Maeda for either their starting rotation or their bullpen, most likely the rotation. Well, the Red Sox have received a huge amount of backlash in Boston over trading a player, the second best player in baseball, the best player in baseball, not named Mike Trout. And now they claim that there are issues with the physical for Brusdar Graterol, who pitched here in Cedar Rapids, outstanding Twins pitching prospect, made his major league debut last September. This, to me, is perhaps a little bit of grandstanding going on by Boston here. Maybe they've got cold feet and they realize that they should have gotten a little bit more value for Mookie Betts. Maybe there is actually an issue here with Graterol. The story is out of Boston saying that they view him after the physical as a likely reliever as opposed to a starter. Those concerns have been surrounding Graterol almost his entire career, just the way that he's built and as hard as he throws. And it's almost like saying that you made this trade without even doing a Google search on him, which is why I'm a little bit skeptical of Boston now saying that there's an issue here and that maybe they need some more compensation to make up for the fact that Graterol isn't 100%. I think this is the Red Sox trying to play to their fan base, maybe trying to throw them a bone here, a fan base that rightfully so is very unhappy about seeing a star player traded solely because Boston doesn't want to pay him and they don't want to let him walk away into free agency and get nothing in return for him. This is where we're at. We talked about this last night with the game of baseball. General managers, front office, now building rosters around that de facto salary cap of $208 million or whatever it is. It's not good for baseball, and baseball needs to do something about it. This isn't good for any of the teams involved here, because what do you do if this blows up in your face? You got some fragile egos that are going to need to be stroked. I think this deal ultimately goes down, but maybe this is Boston realizing that they parted with Mookie Betts for way less than what they should have received, and now they're trying to get the pot sweetened, even though the trade has already been consummated.
Number 9.
Additional information.
I leave this. Wisconsin basketball is in a tough spot right now. Just before they played Iowa a little over a week ago, one of their second leading scorer, Kobe King, was not going to play. Then he announced that he was going to enter the transfer portal because he said that the program was not a good fit for him. And additional information has come out today that the school was investigating their strength and conditioning coach, Eric Helland, because Kobe King, in his plea to get immediate eligibility elsewhere, cited the fact that Eric Helland used racial epithets towards him. Helland has resigned today, probably about an hour after the reports came out. And then the University of Wisconsin admitted that in telling a story about his time in the NBA, Helland did use a racial epithet, but it wasn't directed at anybody. This is not a good look right now for Wisconsin basketball. We have discussed in the past that they've had former players, former commits of the program coming out and saying that the style that they run isn't fostered for the in-state talent that they are trying to bring in. I didn't buy that. But when they were trying to cast this whole thing as somebody quitting on their program, and then we find this out, it all makes sense now. And Kobe King left because it wasn't a good fit for him. Of course it's not a good fit for him. A black man being not necessarily, the person wasn't directing it, but using racial epithets in his presence is not acceptable in any form. It's really that simple. I leave this.
Number 10.
Yeah, Jeets.
Would you believe me if I told you that I am now the proud owner of an autographed baseball from Derek Jeter, a player that I have spent probably an inordinate amount of time running down on the KGYM airwaves?
No, I wouldn't believe you.
I as of
how'd you do
last
this?
Saturday, am now the owner of an autographed baseball from someone I wouldn't necessarily say that I despise, but I'm certainly not a fan of. I wound up bidding on this baseball at a hot stove banquet that I was at over the weekend. The Clinton Lumber Kings are a Miami Marlins affiliate, and they provided them with this baseball signed by Derek Jeter, and it was going for way less money than it should have. And because I love that baseball club and wouldn't be anywhere where I am in life without that club in my life, I firmly believe that, I made a sizable bid on that baseball, and at the end of the night, I wound up with it. And so now I have the dilemma of, it was a costly baseball. I didn't overpay for it. I could probably make a little bit of a profit if I wanted to turn around and sell it to somebody who actually, I don't know, cared to have it in their collection.
Do it.
I'm a little torn now.
Sell it.
Sell it?
Sell it.
Flip it?
Flip it. Absolutely.
I don't know.
If it doesn't mean anything to you, flip it.
But I thought maybe you would find that was funny. That what have I done here but just rail on Derek Jeter's credentials as a unanimous Hall of Famer. Whoever the one vote was, we're never going to know who the one voter was because the ballot is among those that were not made public. But I got to admit, it looks pretty nice on my desk at home. But I don't know. Of all the players that I would add to my collection, that one seemed to be the most unlikely. And yet, there it is, waiting to find a good home.
I got an idea. You can flip it, and I'll just get you a Tony La Russa signed ball that you can put in there.
I got a little. I don't have a baseball signed by La Russa, but I've got some other things signed by him in my collection. That'll do it for Love It or Leave It, and we need to squeeze in a big board update here because Colin Ward Henninger of CBS Sports is stopping by on the other side of the bottom of the hour. He's going to fill us in on the winners and losers of today's NBA trade deadline. Here's Alex.
Things did not go well for the Iowa basketball team last night at Mackey Arena. The Purdue Boilermakers gave Iowa somewhat of a reality check and loss in an emphatic fashion, 104-68. Purdue did pretty much everything that they wanted to do offensively, shooting 63% from the field, 56% from beyond the three-point arc, and outside of Luka Garza's 26 points, Iowa was stymied offensively. The Hawkeyes fall to 16-7 on the season, and they're going to have Nebraska on Saturday at Carver Hawkeye Arena in an attempt to bounce back. Things weren't a whole lot better for Iowa State in Morgantown as the 13th-ranked Mountaineers handed the Cyclones their fourth consecutive loss. 76-61 was the final score. The Clones once again are struggling to find offense outside of anyone other than Tyrese Halliburton and Rashier Bolton, as the two were the only double-figure scorers. They also continued to struggle from beyond the arc, going 5 of 16 from range. The UNI Panthers and Drake Bulldogs saved the night for the state of Iowa. UNI came up with a very nice 63-51 road victory over Valparaiso, while Drake beat Bradley 73-60 at the Knapp Center. This sets up a big in-state showdown on Saturday at the McLeod Center between the two teams. Tip-off for that game will be 3 p.m.
All right. Who was the big winner at today's NBA trade deadline? The folks in Chicago can tell you who wasn't a big winner. Bulls fans are pretty upset about the team not doing anything today. Colin Ward-Henniger of CBS Sports is going to stop by with us in just a few minutes. He'll share his thoughts on how today's trades alter the face of the NBA postseason race. We'll get to Colin when we return after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier boys basketball team fell to Prairie at home Tuesday night, 66-53. Jake Beckman scored 19 to lead the Saints. Xavier will play at Washington tomorrow night. The girls basketball team jumped out to an 11-0 lead on Tuesday, but Prairie caught fire from outside and came back to down the Saints 66-42. Libby Arnold tallied 11 points for Xavier. The Class 4A number 6 rated Saints will host the Washington Warriors tomorrow night. The Xavier wrestling team finished 9th at the Mississippi Valley Conference meet last Saturday at Dubuque Hempstead. Congratulations to Christian Stanek, who won the 138-pound title. Xavier will host Cedar Falls tonight for senior night. And the Xavier bowling teams will be at May City Bowl to host Prairie tomorrow.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company, family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
At CPU Hoyt Jewelers, Valentine's Day is all about the bundle, baby. Now through Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, we're bundling the love with our local romance bundle. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. With any purchase of just $99 or more, we're going to throw in a beautiful box of chocolates. Now, if you spend $2.99 or more, you'll get the box of chocolates and a $50 gift card to 30 Hop. Now, are you ready for this? Spend $9.99 or more, and you get the chocolates, great, the $50 30 Hop card, sweet, and a one-hour couples massage from Hands in Harmony. Woohoo! Now that's an awesome local romance bundle. And of course, in Siki Hoyt fashion with approved credit, you'll get 0% financing for 12 months. It's the Valentine's Day local romance bundle, and it's only at Siki Hoyt, now through Valentine's Day.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are mail-in rebate. See store for details.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
5:35. Welcome back in. It is a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM. 102.3, 106.3 FM, and the all-new Gym OT, available on 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids, offering a variety of new programming options. We're not taking anything away. You can still hear all your favorite ESPN programs. We can give you more details by visiting our website, kgymradio.com. I'll be out tomorrow. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com sitting in with Alex for the full 2 hours. Should be a good one. I know Rob's working on lining up some Iowa guests. You guys will have a lot to talk about. We've had a lot to talk about today, and we continue on our journey towards 6 o'clock this evening by bringing Colin Ward-Henniger on the program. It's been a while since we've chatted with you, Colin, but figured today with the NBA trade deadline coming and going, now would be as good of a time as ever to welcome you back to the airwaves here in Eastern Iowa. And who made the biggest splash today in your eyes?
Well, I mean, it was partially last night and partially today, but I have to go with the Miami Heat. I mean, their acquisition of not only Andre Iguodala is going to be a huge difference maker for them in the playoffs, but also to get Jay Crowder and to shed some salary and set themselves up for success next offseason and the offseason of 2021. Just masterful maneuvering by Pat Riley and the Miami Heat staff. I think that this kind of propels them into that second spot in the East, in my opinion, behind the Milwaukee Bucks. And there was kind of a logjam with them and the Celtics and the Raptors. But I think that this move that they've made has pushed them into that number two spot in the East.
There's some Wolves fans here in the area, and they are very excited today. The team is not going, is not having a good season, but D'Angelo Russell coming from Golden State to Minnesota, and finally the long national nightmare, at least regional nightmare, Andrew Wiggins, and that contract is in Golden State. What did you think of that trade, and how do those two pieces fit in their new locations?
That's so funny because I'm hearing now, I'm out in the Bay Area and I follow the Warriors quite a bit, but I'm hearing about how D'Angelo Russell was a disaster and how it didn't work out and how they're making the right move by getting rid of him. So it's funny to see it from both perspectives, but I was certainly surprised by the deal. From everything I had heard, the talks between the Timberwolves and Warriors had kind of stalled and that the Warriors were asking for a little bit too much and maybe that this was going to be carried into the summer because it's clear that the Timberwolves wanted D'Angelo Russell. They almost had him last summer, and he kind of slipped through their fingers, and they really wanted to pair him with Towns. He and Towns are best friends. They got to keep Towns happy because he's eventually going to become a free agent, and that clock starts ticking earlier and earlier on these guys. But, yeah, I was surprised to see it happen. Andrew Wiggins, who is maybe going to become the new kind of Jeff Green, where teams take him, hoping that they can get that untapped potential that looks to be there. But we still haven't seen. He started off the season well, but has kind of gone back to his old self. But he certainly fits the Warriors roster, on paper at least, better than Russell does once Steph Curry and Klay Thompson come back.
You sort of beat me to my next question. I mean, if there's any organization that can maybe get Andrew Wiggins on the same page with it, is it not Golden State? I mean, Steve Kerr has a tendency to unlock players' most massive potential, and there is a ton of potential there in Wiggins.
Yeah, absolutely. And what they're going to ask him to do is he doesn't have to be the guy. You know, he's going to be the Harrison Barnes of this team, where he stands in the corner and waits for threes and then can also put the ball on the deck and go to the basket. And he can kind of take over, now don't get me wrong, I'm not comparing these two, but take over that Kevin Durant role of, look, hey, we need an ISO basket. Let's give it to Wiggins. Let him post up for a possession or two. So I see that. I definitely see the thinking there. And they're clearly hoping that the Warriors culture will help with the sort of motivation, work ethic issues that we've seen so far. My only main concern is that the Warriors, particularly their offense, a lot of their defense too, really rely on high IQ basketball players. And I don't know if Wiggins has displayed that yet. I'm not saying that he's not that type of player, but he certainly hasn't had the chance to show it in Minnesota. And they've had awful defenses for years and years. So I think there's going to be a lot for him to learn and a pretty big adjustment period. But I think that's what the Warriors are hoping, that their culture, their coaching can get to him and kind of unlock everything that everyone thinks he's got inside.
A lot of upset Bulls fans here in the area. No moves made. There was some thought that maybe they would try to get rid of the contract to Thaddeus Young or Denzel Valentine. Didn't happen. Were you surprised that the Bulls did absolutely nothing?
Yeah, Thaddeus Young was a guy I thought was pretty much you could you know, sign it up. He's gone. Maybe they didn't get the offers that they were looking for. It's clear there that they just kind of have a bunch of guys, and obviously they came out and it was reported that they said that Zach LaVine was untouchable. So outside of him, I think everyone else was kind of on the table, and Lauri Markkanen is now reportedly a little unhappy there with his role and what's going on there. So I was definitely surprised to see that the Bulls did nothing. Chris Dunn was another guy who can help a off the bench defensive point guard who's also been playing a little bit better offensively this year. So not a great outlook for the Bulls moving forward. And I guess they're going to have to wait till the off season to try to figure out what they want to do with that roster.
Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports with us on the day of the NBA trade deadline. The deadline has come and gone. Reading your piece at CBS Sports, you seem to be a big fan of what the Clippers were able to accomplish.
Oh, yeah, this was great, and it's great on two fronts, right? So that Marcus Morris was one of the biggest trade chips out there heading into this deadline, and people who maybe haven't been paying attention this season to the Knicks, which you can't really blame them, he's averaging almost 20 points a game, and he's shooting 44% from the three-point line, which is by far the best he's shot in his career. So he really seems to be coming into his own. So he was a big piece. And it really came down to the Clippers and the Lakers. The Lakers were really trying to get him, and the Knicks just didn't like the trade packages they were putting forward. So for the Clippers to come through and get him for Mo Harkless and a first rounder not only does that help the Clippers because now they can insert Morris as a much reliable shooter and a versatile wing defender for their playoff run, but they also get him from the Lakers. So that means the Lakers are missing that addition, and now there are talks about them working out J.R. Smith and hoping Darren Collison comes out of retirement. So for the Lakers, this is kind of a big loss, and I think everyone expects the Clippers and the Lakers to meet in the Western Conference Finals. It's not a guarantee, but those are clearly the two best teams when healthy. So I think the addition of Marcus Morris is really going to take them over the top over the Lakers.
For some of these rebuilding teams, how impressive is what the Memphis Grizzlies have done over the past year and a half been?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It's a blueprint for how to handle it. Just look at what they've done with Iguodala. They got a first rounder to take on his salary, and then they end up getting Justice Winslow for him, for a guy who didn't even want to play for the team. So just tremendous front office work there. And then on top of everything, they've really hit home runs with their two draft picks in the last 2 years, and John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Morant is just one of the most exciting players in the league already as a 20-year-old, and Jaren Jackson Jr. is only getting better. I mean, he hit 7 threes in a single quarter earlier this year. So Brandon Clark, you add Justice Winslow. I mean, their future is very bright there. And the fact that they're over 500 and in the playoffs, I guarantee you can't find one expert who had that penciled in before the season. So just, hats off to what they've done there. And Taylor Jenkins doing a great job as a first-year head coach.
How frustrating is it seeing that if you're a fan of the Bulls, if you're a fan of the Timberwolves or the Suns or one of these teams, the Knicks, that has the resources but is sort of floundering, and you see a team in Memphis being able to rebuild their entire franchise in just over a year?
It's incredibly frustrating, and that's kind of the dilemma you have in the NBA, is because if you're not a contender, the plan is to rebuild for most teams. Most teams aren't content being in the middle because it's kind of purgatory in the NBA. So if you're going to rebuild and you're going to be bad for years, you need to hit on these draft picks. And that's what we see with a lot of these teams who are trying to rebuild but can't. I mean, the Knicks, Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox, the Bulls picks haven't worked out the way that they thought they would. Wendell Carter's injured all the time. So it's a little bit of luck. You got to pick the right guys. They have to be healthy. But it also comes from the front office. I mean, the Bulls front office has been struggling for years. The Knicks, we know their ownership with James Dolan has been kind of a mess over the last few years. So whatever they're doing in Memphis is good, and people should study that as a blueprint for how to handle a rebuilding situation.
Did you expect to see a four-team, 12-player deal go down today? I think it's been a couple decades since there's been that one that large in the NBA.
Yeah, no, safe to say I was not expecting that. The names kept kind of trickling in one after another. We're like, wow, this is actually happening. So that was kind of the trade that kicked off the whole trade deadline season, if you will. But yeah, it was a huge trade for the Rockets. They got Robert Covington, who they've been wanting for a very, very long time. He's kind of an ideal fit there, a three-point shooter who can also defend multiple positions. But they traded away Clint Capella, which basically leaves them with no centers. A lot of people thought they might make a move to get a center before the deadline, and they didn't. So they're essentially playing 6'6 PJ Tucker at center, which is going to be interesting. They might come up with somebody in the buyout market, but it seems like they've gone all in on this small ball. And, the Hawks picking up Capella is a big deal in that they were really trying to keep Trae Young happy. He had expressed some frustration earlier this season with their losing and the way that they were losing. And one member of the front office reportedly promised them, look, help is on the way. So I think this is the help that was on the way. Clint Capella is a good defender. He'll shore up the Hawks' defense, which is terrible. And he'll also be a nice lob threat for Trae Young. But, yeah, a huge trade to kick off the trade deadline.
In an Eastern Conference where it looks like Milwaukee is sort of running away with things, you see the Miami Heat go out wheeling and dealing and make moves. Are you surprised with the Boston Celtics doing nothing? And does Danny Ainge deserve a little bit of criticism here?
I wouldn't say criticism. The one position where they really could have used an upgrade is center. And you look at Giannis on the Bucks. You look at Joel Embiid on the 76ers. The Celtics aren't really equipped to handle bigger, stronger players who do most of their damage inside. They have Daniel Tice and Enes Kanter as kind of a platoon center, which has worked out fine for them in the regular season. And they even go with their really small lineup with essentially it was Marcus Smart playing center to close games occasionally. But I don't know if that's going to work in the playoffs against teams like the Sixers and the Bucks. So I was a little surprised to see that they didn't go out and get a center. But when you look at who is available and what they have, they weren't going to trade any of their main five guys. And so you really run into a situation where maybe you can flip a pick or try to find some cobble together some salary, but then that's not really appealing to the team you're trading with. So as we see a lot during trade season, like you can see a team, you can see their needs. You say you need to go out and get this, but unless that deal materializes and it's agreeable to both sides, sometimes things just don't get done.
Colin, any other team that maybe you were a little perplexed as to their lack of inactivity today?
Well, I mean, I think the Denver Nuggets probably stand out to me the most. And that was partly because they pulled off that four-team trade where they got rid of Malik Beasley and Juan Hernan Gomez, who are restricted free agents, guys that weren't in their plans. But I think a lot of people felt that that was going to be kind of a precursor to a bigger deal. The name Drew Holiday has been thrown out quite a bit for Denver and would really take them from like this very good Western Conference team to an actual contender if they could get him. Now, like I said, I don't know if Holiday was available. I don't know if a deal materialized. But I thought when they got involved in that four-team deal, that meant that they were going to do something bigger. And to see them just kind of sit there and not really make another move was a little bit surprising to me.
At Colin CBS Sports on Twitter, Colin Ward-Henninger, always a pleasure to have you on the airwaves with us here in Eastern Iowa. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
And there you have it, a rundown of the winners and losers at today's NBA trade deadline. And Bulls fans, we thought the bad news was yesterday with Derrick Rose pulling out of the skills competition for folks in Chicago. They weren't going to get to see hardly anybody with any local flavor. And now Lauri Markkanen wants out of town. That story being reported by a number of news outlets. And now today,
they don't trade Thaddeus Young.
They don't do anything.
They have a piece that maybe somebody can give them something in return for, and they're like, we'll just keep them around for no apparent reason. Inactivity. It's all about front offices and whether or not they're invested. And clearly the Bulls don't have a front office that's invested.
It's across all sports. The worst thing you can do is be inactive. You're either moving forward, make the decision to move backwards and consciously go into a rebuild. If you just stand in the middle and do nothing, you're going to lose in the present to the teams that are moving forward, and you're going to lose in the future to the teams that are moving backward and beating you to the rebuild. And it seems to me that the Bulls are just happy to stand in place and watch the world spin around them. It's not a good place to be in the NBA. It's not a good place to be in Major League Baseball, any of the four major sports.
Well, the team in Memphis and then the second fiddle team in New York did the Brooklyn Nets did everything that they could to completely change their fortunes. They went out and they made the move. That's the problem here. The Bulls don't have excuses. There's nothing here. There are so many examples of teams in smaller markets doing what it takes while the Bulls just sit there and choose to be bad. It's a choice at this point because those guys have been around for two decades now.
That's a heck of a marketing slogan that they should slap on all of the season ticket literature. We choose to be bad. Buy your Bulls season tickets now. 5:51, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will wrap up a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and give you a little preview of what to look forward to tomorrow.
In the 1940s, everything had an air of romance. Women wore red lips and high heels just to go to market. Gentlemen sported handsome full-length wool coats and stylish hats. And the movies featured sweet and wonderful stories of love. Times and fashions have changed, but that sense of romance remains at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been offering gifts of love on Valentine's Day. At Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, they understand that Valentine's Day is a day to be swept away by the magic of romance. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
At Quicken Loans, our 17,000 team members know that home is so much more than a house. That's because our clients tell us all the time. Hey, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, and we want to help you save money on your mortgage with some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates are historically low. You may be able to reduce your rate and save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. Pay off some credit card debt or put some money towards that new bathroom or kitchen you've always wanted. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR, 4.23%. That's right, 3.99%. While we can't predict what will happen in the future, we do know that rates have dropped and now is the time to save money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn how refinancing now may be the right mortgage solution for you. That's 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
If you're a man over 40 and you're getting up at night over and over to urinate, listen up. We want to send you a free, no strings attached, 30-day supply of Super Beta Prostate Advanced. This is the same formula that's taking Walmart by storm, because its ingredients help reduce those nighttime bathroom trips. Plus, we're talking about less bathroom trips during the day and better bladder emptying. Call us now for your free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. No catch, no commitments. You get a free 30-day supply because we know you'll want more. And the longer you take Super Beta Prostate Advanced, the more successful your chances of improvement will be. Call 1-800-473-7514. Super Beta Prostate is the prostate supplement that urologists recommend the most. Find out why with this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-473-7514. 1-800-473-7514. 1-800-473-7514.
5:54, and welcome back in as we draw the curtain to a close on a Thursday edition of the show. Want to remind you to stick around and join us for local programming as it resumes tomorrow at 3 o'clock with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. It's going to be the first gym class in quite some time without a pick six. Pick six is over for the year. Mercifully, if I do say so myself, I could not have finished the year on any colder of a stretch than what I put forth, but needless to say, they will have plenty of local content for you from 3 until 4. And then I am out tomorrow. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com will be in with you for the full 2 hours. And I'm sure you guys will have... I feel as if the pump has just been primed on the Iowa basketball discussion. We got to it today. We spent a decent amount of time with it. But I feel like there are a lot of people that still have opinions about Iowa basketball after last night and going into Saturday's game against Nebraska, and maybe they didn't get an opportunity to share them just the way that the rest of the show played out today. So you feel pretty confident you and Rob are going to be discussing a lot of Iowa basketball tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll have the big hour. We're still working on some guests for tomorrow and basically waiting on a guest to see how everything's going to fall as far as who's going to join us, but we'll have plenty of content for tomorrow, and excited to have Rob in for the whole 2 hours, and we'll get the big hour underway, and hopefully we have a high-profile Iowa Hawkeye guest tomorrow.
The Iowa women in action tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena, putting their 32-game winning streak on the line, a 6:30 tip-off with the Cornhuskers, a preview of things to come perhaps between the Iowa women and the Iowa men who host the Cornhuskers on Saturday. Nebraska beat Iowa earlier this season on December 28th, 78-69, so the Hawkeyes looking to salvage a regular season draw with the Huskers. Searching for the right words there. 319-366-1600. The First Federal Credit Union text line, extremely busy today. Remember, check out firstfedcu.com/KGYM for details on how you can get $200 just for opening a new checking account. We put the finishing touches here in the final minute or so of the program today. After everything that was going on last night, Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, Drake all in action, I feel empty tonight. I don't know if there's anything to watch when I get home.
Did you watch The Bachelor yet?
I have not. I'm so far behind.
See, I got you.
Although I'm told that a certain Cedar Rapidian makes an appearance on
Kurt
Warner?
Most
recent. Not Kurt Warner.
Zach Johnson?
Not Zach Johnson either. I'll see if I can get caught. We got too many of those Bachelor. We kind of gave up on the season. Peter's a real dud. I think Mark Dukes feels the same way. Maybe Mark will talk about it tomorrow with Scott on the Gym Class. That'll do it for today. If you missed anything, podcast available at KGYMradio.com.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate.